Well, to catch us up for our worship today, last week we heard about the normal Moses, not the hero Moses, but the normal Moses who, when the bush called and said, "I have chosen you, you must go, I am God," and Moses said, "Well, hold on, I might have some excuses that I think will work, let me run through them first." We can relate to that Moses, the Moses that was comfortable and that didn't want to change, which I can speak from personal experience. When God calls, it's usually a really big change, and you make every excuse in the book that you can. So that's the Moses that we heard about, but that Moses ran out of excuses. That Moses went. And so here is the hero Moses that we know. He went to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." The plagues came. The Egyptians got mad whenever the Israelites were finally freed, and so they ran from them. The Red Sea was split so that they could get away from them, and then they are free to walk in the desert. Hallelujah, God has saved us. But that doesn't last very long, because the Israelites start to see that this area of being is less comfortable than where they were, even though it was in slavery. And so they start to question, should we go back to Egypt? It was a little bit more comfortable there. And so there's this internal struggle of, do we walk this path that God is leading us on? Or do we want to live the way that we want? And so they constantly have this internal struggle. And because of that, the first time Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments, they have built an altar to another god. They are not true. They constantly break the covenant that they've made with him, and so they get 40 years of wandering. I love that the Bible calls it wandering, because think about it. If you think of your favorite store, Kohl's, Target, Walmart, JCPenney's, for me it's Target, everything I have on is from Target, and all of it was on clearance, because I walk in and I wander. I don't need to be here. I probably didn't need these shoes, but I did need the pants, so I'll give that. But you walk in and you look. Oh, look at the clearance section. Ooh, I really like this rug. Oh, I really got to go check out the dollar area, and not to mention the seasonal stuff. And before you know it, an hour has gone by. I do that every other Saturday night after church. It just Target's on my way home, and it just gets me. That's wandering. You have no real need. I didn't need toilet paper, so there was no need to go in there. There wasn't a clear path of, I'm going to get this and I'm going to get out. And so in the desert, there's not this clear path of, we are following God and we are going to the promised land. It is, we're following God, we're not following God. We're following God, we're not. And so they are wandering for 40 years. A lot of you maybe have seen The Prince of Egypt, where Moses is depicted as a young man, probably younger than me. But that's not accurate. He was not young when that bush was on fire and he was called to do this. He was an older man, and so 40 years in the desert means the one that has gotten them out of Egypt is not the one that is going to get to lead them into the promised land. And so that is where our story picks up today. Although Moses won't get to see the promised land, his second-hand man will. So Jack, will you come share our scripture with us?
This scripture is from the book of Joshua, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Cross this Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, east to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then west to the great sea, it's all yours. All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You're going to lead this people to inherit the land, and I promised to give you to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get to where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jack. Can't you just picture God saying it like that? Get going. This is the Message translation, and so just to clarify, when it says the revelation of Moses, the book of the revelation, what it is talking about is the Ten Commandments and the laws and the rules that God has told Moses and Moses has told the people. So just to clarify so you were not confused. But this passage, I mean, Joshua has some good one-liners, right? In the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Good words. Hold on to that if you get nothing else out of today. But Joshua has been with Moses, secondhand man, and so he has a heart for God. He is one that stays true to God. He has been with the people when they were in slavery, when they were freed, as they are wandering. He has seen them turn away and come back and turn away and come back. And now, finally, he is the one that gets to lead them into the much-awaited promised land. And so all throughout the book of Joshua, his goal as a leader who was chosen by God is to simply keep the people on track. They want to turn away, and he calls them back to the faith. Look at what our God has done for us. I mean, I don't know how you forget the God that sent plagues and split a sea for you, but these people are. And so Joshua has this gift of pulling the people back. So the way that Joshua leads them is God speaks to him, and then he tells the people. And so as they are coming into the promised land, there comes a blockage. The walls of Jericho. Now, we're going to stop at the walls crumbling down and not go into what happens after that. As Pastor Steve said a few weeks ago, there are some things in the Old Testament that we don't agree with in this day and age, not multiple wives and not pillaging cities. So when the walls come down, we're stopping there. But for our focus here, he says to make those walls come down, here's the direction. Just walk around it 7 times for 7 days. And on that 7th day, I want you to play some instruments and yell, and the walls are just going to come down. Now, if I am a people that is having trouble staying true, and God gives this instruction, I might be looking at Joshua like, are you sure? We're just going to yell? Some of us have pretty bad singing voices, but I don't know that they're that bad. But okay, if you say so, somehow Joshua convinces them, this is what our faithful God is calling us to, and so we must do it. And so they do it together. I think it's important to note that it took each one of them to walk around the walls for those walls to fall. What if one of them said, I don't have faith in this, and they just sat down? What if the walls never came down because of that lack of faith? And so all of them together were able to walk around it. And so for us today, what does this mean for us? How does this relate? We're not going to go walk around the walls and make anything fall. So I thought of 2 things. First of all, if you think about it, God gives us some pretty weird instructions for this day and age. I mean, the greatest commandment is to love God, put nothing else before him, and to love our neighbor, which means everyone. And so in this world where there is so much we could be doing other than having a moment with God, that could be seen as a weird instruction. God, I got to go to work. I got to make my coffee before I get to work, and I've got this long drive. I really need to listen to my pump-up music so that I'm ready for this day of work. And when I get home from it, I've got kids that I got to feed and laundry that I got to do. And God says, no, I am your God. Take a moment with me. And then there's the love everyone bit. If you've watched the news in the last month, you know that there are some people in this world that it would be really hard to love. But still, God tells us, love them. They are a child of mine just as you are a child of mine. I love you so that you will love them. That's a weird instruction for today. But aside from that, this really made me think about our transition. Because this has not been a normal transition. We can all say that together. This has been a weird one. We've gotten through it together, and it was an honor to have Pastor Steve be our interim in the process, but it is almost over. Next week, we get our brand new pastor. And so what this says to me is that we have to have faith that Pastor Chris is the right pastor for us. I want to share with you guys what I wrote in the First Thoughts email. It comes out on Thursday. It's just like a prequel to what's going to happen in worship. Many of you may have already read it, but I can't say it any better than I already said it. So I just want to share it with you guys. These last 2 months, we have heard the stories of creation, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and now we have heard about Joshua and the much-awaited promised land. But in a similar way, our church has heard from head pastors like our very first pastor, T.B. Cobb, and more familiar names like Bill Crawford, Otto Dvorak, Fritz Mudie, Frank Jones, Steve Cox, Mark Williams, Steve Campbell, and Sally Haynes. Each one of the patriarchs of our faith gave us a different piece of the story, and they showed us a different path of faith. And each one of our pastors has given us a different piece of our story and has taken us down a unique path to get us right where we are today, where I truly hope you can call First UMC your home. So this week, as we look at Joshua, we are, in a sense, looking towards our incoming pastor, Chris Abel. What stories will he tell us? What paths will he walk with us on? What direction will God place on his heart to lead us? But through all of that, will we walk on? So I'm not saying that Pastor Chris is going to get us to the promised land. I'm not putting that expectation on him. Don't tell him next week, Erica said you're taking us to the promised land, so let's see this 30-minute sermon. Go. I don't know how long his sermons are. I'm just teasing him. I hope he's watching. But what we do know is that God is still here with us in this moment, and God knows what we need. And so we have to have faith. Not that Chris is going to get us into the promised land, but we have to have faith that he is the right pastor for us right now in this moment. He has something that we need. There is something unique about him, and we are going to be blessed through him in some way. And like all of the other pastors that we have had, he has a unique path to lead us on. But just like the Israelites who had to have faith to follow Joshua, we have to have the faith to follow him. And it has to be together. It took every single one of those Israelites to walk around the walls of Jericho for them to come tumbling down. And it is going to take each one of us taking a role in our church to make this season successful. Chris and I are just here to serve you. This is your church. This is not the head pastor's church. This is not the associate pastor's church. This is not the leadership council's church. This is your church. And we can only be as successful under a new pastor as we are willing to make us be. There is a place for every single one of us in this puzzle. And I pray that during this season, you are able to find your place. Whether it be helping with the first mission projects that are happening every month, or maybe it's volunteering with the children and the youth. I can vouch, they're pretty cool if you want to come hang out with us. Maybe it's joining one of those small groups that are out in the lobby to sign up for. That way you can invite a new person into our faith family. Maybe it's just being the person who sets out the donuts out there, serves coffee, and smiles at everyone that comes and gets one. There's a place for each and every one of us. And so this promised land that is much awaited for us, We can get there together. But it's not the promised land that the Israelites knew here. It's not the one out of the Bible, a physical land that we're going to come into. I believe the promised land that awaits us is all of Blue Springs, knowing the name and love of God. Can you imagine? Every single person in Blue Springs being connected with a church family. Not just our church family, because that is not the point. We're all a family together. And so can you imagine all of Blue Springs knowing that a God humbled himself to the point of dying on a cross for them so that they may be free? And that is just how much they are loved. What would this city look like? It looked like the promised land. And that's not something that we have to wait for the end of days when God's going to come back. That is something that we can attain right now if we are willing to work for it and work together to get to it. Praise man, y'all can come on back up. Joshua 24, it's kind of a long book, but at the end, all this time of trying to tell the people, stay true to God, it ends by saying, on this day, you must choose who it is you are going to serve. So for us, on this day, if we must choose who it is we will serve, will we serve God and our church? Or will we serve our self-comfort, making excuses the way that Moses did? 24:15 ends by saying, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. When you walk in those doors out there, it says, welcome home. We just invited Kimberly to join our family. Our church shirt says, this is my first home. So I hope today that we can stay together. But as for us here in Blue Springs, we will serve the Lord. We will have faith in where he is taking us. And we will follow wherever it is he is going to lead us. Amen.